Looking for a little Hollywood-style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, I'm destined.
Maybe just the likelihood of a team sweeping a doubleheader like the Rockets had. Well, we discussed it because we looked it up, and the Rockets had an opportunity earlier in the year to do that. They beat Utah in the first game, lost to Utah in the second game. They were swept by Portland. Now, it wasn't back-to-back. The two teams did play each other consecutively, but there was a day off in between. So it was a little different from last night. The Rockets, for the first three quarters, felt like they were going to sweep the Clippers. But then their old friend, the fourth quarter, popped up on them, and so did the turnovers in total and also in the fourth quarter. And then Kawhi decided to be the best player on the planet for 12 minutes. And that's why the Rockets lost. It's not the only reason. Those three reasons aren't even the only reasons. But they played a giant factor in why the Rockets going to the All-Star break asking themselves, how the hell did we just lose that game to those Clippers? It certainly helps that Kawhi decided he was going to be great. He was great in that fourth quarter, had a very quiet first three quarters, and turned it on. He made the game-winning jumper, got fouled on it, knocked down the free throw, and the Clippers win that game 105-102. But the 21 turnovers for the Rockets, for a team who isn't great offensively as it is, who lives off offensive rebounds and extra possessions, then you mitigate some of that superiority on the boards by turning the ball over as much as they did. Six turnovers in the fourth quarter, if I trust AI Overview. I use that caveat because I don't trust it. But I asked the question, how many turnovers for the Rockets in the fourth quarter? And it came back with six. Kevin Durant had his own problems. Eight turnovers last night for him. It has been an issue in tight ball games when they put the ball in his hands as often as they do because they don't have any other trusted ball handlers. Things like this pop up. We've harped on the fact that they don't have a point guard. They weren't very interested in acquiring one at the deadline. Jose Alvarado was a topic of conversation this morning. A caller called in about him. Of course, it was probably prompted by the 8 three-pointers he made against the Sixers. That is not Jose Alvarado. He is a pest. He is a guy who scraps. He is not a guy who you give the ball to or give him the opportunity to knock down 8 threes. He just had a great night last night. But it just illustrates the fact that guys are out there that could have helped this team, and the Rockets stood pat. Whether it's because Rafael Stone's actually serious about the thought that this was a lost year because of injuries, whatever the case may be, it didn't cost a lot to get Jose Alvarado. My suggestion was to go get Ayo Dosunmu. That would have cost a bit more, but you're trading with the Bulls. Who knows? You could have duped them into giving you that for Jayshon Tate and 2 second-rounders, for all we know. It's the Bulls. They do trades that don't seem to benefit them very much, at least when you look at the trade as it's happening. But the Rockets chose nothing, and this is what you're going to get. You don't have anyone to really settle you down. If you're asking Kevin Durant to play as many minutes as he does, and then also be a guy who has to take on ball pressure in fourth quarters of games, the turnovers are going to start to build. And in a game where they had control, they lost it. Their great player played great. Your great player didn't. And you lose 105-102. Of course, you had the Alperen Şengün missed free throw. That would have given them a one-point lead before the Clippers' final possession. Who knows? Maybe Kawhi makes the bucket anyway. But that's just the sliding doors. Maybe the Clippers have a different approach if they're down by one, as opposed to being as patient as they could be and just give the ball to Kawhi, because at worst, you're going to overtime. Who knows? But Alperen Şengün misses another big free throw. He's under 70% from the line. Not great.
Did anyone think he was making two there?
No, even my friend Kevin Joseph tweeted me as soon as I saw him go to the line. Like, I knew he was going to miss two.
At least one of these.
He was going to miss one. We know that's in his bag right now. Missing one out of two in that moment. I don't know how many Rockets I would have trusted to make two. I guess Kevin Durant, although he has a miss on his resume from the first game of the season. If you told me game down one, you get to the line. Do I think a Rockets going 2 for 2? I think it's a coin flip. I think it's a coin flip.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Kevin Durant missed one last night. Yeah, he did miss one. He's 4 for 5.
But particularly in those moments, pick a Rocket, and I would say they're probably splitting here because that's just how the season has gone, and it went that way last night, and you drop a game you should have won. They're not as dominant as home as they have been. And, I saw after the first Clippers game, a lot of people, at least some Rocket fans, going, hey, look at all our injuries, and our record's very similar to what it was at this point last year. I think people forget that, sure, your records are similar, but we talked about it. Certainly, I forgot until we looked it up. Was it yesterday? Or maybe it was Tuesday? The Rockets ripped off 12 out of 13 at one point in March. So unless that's going to happen again, then you're not as good as you were last year. You're not going to have the same record you were last year, because it took a big-time winning streak in the middle of March for that to happen. So while I understand that it's not all doom and gloom, and hey, the records are pretty much the same. The reason you won as many games as you did last year and were the 2 seed is because you got really hot for about three to four weeks. Is that in the cards? Maybe, but they're actually playing worse than they were early. So maybe the hot streak has already happened. They'll go into the All-Star break. Alperen and KD will go to the game. We'll see if Kevin Durant cares, because that came up yesterday. It's part of the conversation we had yesterday. It came up with him last night after the game. He was asked a question about competition in the All-Star game, and I've made myself pretty clear on that. I don't think the format's going to elicit much care from players, and Kevin Durant called out a couple guys in particular because he didn't like all the questions being directed at the American-born OGs or old heads, and he said he was reading between the lines about the question. We'll see. We'll hear from him when we come back, and then we can discuss what he means. But as far as the season, it's been fine, right?
Yeah, it honestly is just like if you actually sit down, take all things in consideration, you're like, this is about like what you would get here. It's just, I think part of it is that they just started off hot and then it's tailed off. If it was like flipped, I think people would be more encouraged.
Yeah. I mean,
it's like, get the bad games out of the way first.
And I think the manner of even the wins and losses is bothersome. It's just, it doesn't feel like a team.
You're just never in control of a game.
Even when you are. You know there could be a moment where you give up a 7-0 run, and now it's a game again. Ime Udoka talked about it now maybe a couple weeks ago. They were on the road. I think it might have been in Portland, so maybe more than a couple weeks ago, where he talked about, hey, Kevin Durant sits down for 2 minutes and we lose a 13-point lead because we can't somehow play without a 37-year-old on the floor. That's how fragile some of this stuff is with the Rockets, where you sit Kevin Durant down and you go from in control of the game to it's an all-out clutch game all of a sudden.
Yeah. And just like the start of the fourth quarter, it's like, I know the Rockets probably did take a shot at some point before they lost the lead, but it felt like they lost the lead because they like just kept turning the ball over and didn't even get a shot up to take it from, what was it, going into the fourth, like a 6-point lead, 5-point lead into a 5-point deficit. It's like, I'm sitting here, I'm like, I don't remember them taking a shot. To me, it's all bad passes and shot clock violations.
Yeah, they went into the fourth quarter up by 6, and that was in a third quarter where they were after the third quarter. But in that third quarter, they're up by double digits.
Yeah, I think 15 was the...
Yeah, and at one point, even late in the third, if I just go by the play-by-play, late in the third with 2.5 minutes remaining, they're up by 13. They wound up only up by 6 by the end of the third quarter, and then it kept getting worse and worse from there.
Yeah. The end of the third quarter, start of the fourth, has been very key.
And it's reverse of what happened the night before, where it was a close game. The Clippers didn't have a big lead, but they're in that 4-5 point range. Yeah. And the Rockets turned it on late in the third.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's the same thing in both Spurs games as well, where it's like both Spurs games from last month where they're close games, and the Reed Shepherd show happens and the Rockets pull ahead, and the other, the Victor Wembanyama show happens and the Spurs pull ahead. So it is like every game, it's like, well, just we'll see how you handle the, I don't know, last 5 minutes of the third quarter and the first 5 minutes of the fourth quarter, and it'll probably be a close game after that, and we'll kind of see who executes.
The Reed Shepherd show was preempted last night, at least in the final seconds, and people weren't happy about that. We'll talk about that when we come back. One of the more infuriating things when you watch your team play, and I remember it really front of mind, because of the Cougs against Florida, where either you don't get off a shot late because you just assume, like, expectation-wise, look, make or miss, at least I think we're going to get off a shot. Tari Eason got off a shot. It wouldn't have been a tying shot because his foot was on the line. So that's upsetting, particularly when you have called into question your head coach's ability to draw plays and have an offense that's functional. A lot of things that have been issues with the Rockets all year long popped up in that fourth quarter, and that's why they lost. But we'll hear from Kevin Durant when we come back. He has thoughts on the All-Star game. While he wasn't combative, he did make note of a question, and that he felt was a little unfair. So we'll get to that when we come back. If you guys want to join us, it's 713-780-3776. We have Astro stuff to get to. We need to honor one of the legends of fictional football. We'll get to that at some point today. A lot to get to here. We'll be back.
Houston's independent voice for sports talk.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
After the game, after the Rockets loss, Kevin Durant was available and he spoke, of course, about the game, but he got a question about the All-Star game and whether the teams will be competitive. It is one of the things Adam Silver has been unable to solve. Can he get not only the viewing audience to care, but can he even get the participants to care? And Kevin Durant took note of how the question was asked and had some pushback. Here's Kevin Durant.
You should ask the Europeans and the world team if they're going to compete. I mean, because look at Luka Doncic and... and Nikola Jokic now. Let's go back and look at what they do at the All-Star game. Is that competition? So we haven't questioned what they've been doing, but we're going to question the old heads and the Americans. But these two dudes out there, Luka and Jokic, they don't care about the game at all. These dudes be laying on the floor and shoot from half court, but you got to worry about the old heads playing hard. I can read between the lines, bro. And I'm just thinking a lot of times, I'm just saying that I can read between the lines. And it's not just about you. It's just an overall topic that everybody's just been talking about. You just happen to ask me that question.
I will say that's a fair point.
All right, between the lines.
Also, Victor, I think, has said he plans to play hard.
We'll see. I mean, we'll see. Yeah. Of course, Victor. I mean, he said that last year, too. They say it was the worst All-Star game that people watched, you know. So we're going to see, you know what I'm saying? And who knows what's going to happen. This format might change the game, but who knows?
Kevin Durant feels like a guy who's going to, I'll see what everyone else is doing. If someone, I don't know who it would be on the other side. If someone wants to challenge me, I'll take the challenge. But if no one's going to make it a thing, I'm not going to make it a thing. And I think that's what we're going to see. There has to be an inciting incident, and I don't suspect there will be one. I think we'll just get a casual game. The only thing that makes me pause on that is the fact that there is something to, I guess you want to say, play for, because there would be another game. So, of course, the one-off of the All-Star game, it's not like if you win, there's something else. You just, hey, game's over, I won, whatever. That's the only reason I think there might be any competitiveness, is because if win and move on, although it is round robin, so I guess you're guaranteed two games. I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out a way to maybe couch what I have been saying, where I think this is a nothing. This is going to be very exhibition-y. And then if someone happens to win, they win. But it won't be because they've tried any harder. It'll just be, hey, someone had to win this game.
Yeah, and also, like, I don't know, there's times where one guy tries hard, and that team just wins. Like that the team where the guy tries hard wins.
Yeah.
And you know. Also, I think some of it's also with how the game's played these days, where it's like they are just taking a ton of threes.
Yeah.
And so if one team just makes more of these wild, like, 35-foot threes that they step into, like, that team's just going to win. Like, the other team can try to respond with that. But
if they miss shots, they miss shots.
It is like a normal game where it's like, oh, they're taking ridiculous shots, but they're not going in. So
yeah,
it's going to be a 25-point game.
There won't be a coach all that furious when he's calling his timeouts. There's not going
to
be,
hey, I have to get a good shot on this.
There's not going to be any of that.
Yeah.
So there it is. If that is one of the stars of the game saying, hey, what are you talking about us for? What about those other guys?
Yeah, and he's right. Like, Jokic has, like, hilariously low levels of effort and give a bleep in these games, which is, like,
I get it.
Or it's also in line with his character. It's in line with, like,
everything that people say about him.
This extra game that he has to play. Yeah, the guy who didn't want to go to the NBA championship parade. Yeah, now you're playing an All-Star game, buddy. Have fun.
All the things people say about him are exhibited in that game.
Yes.
Like, if you – he clearly cares about playing regular season games and, of course, the playoffs. But you think he doesn't care because of what his body looks like, doughy, all that stuff. All of that, it's distilled into the All-Star game.
Like, yes, you see that. It shows up in the tape of the All-Star.
Your view was validated by that All-Star game. So
I also like the Victor Wembanyama said he would play hard last year, too. Yeah,
exactly.
That is true. Like,
exactly.
The whole, like, I'm going to play hard. I'm going to be the one. I feel like every year there is, like, a guy who's like, I'm going to be the one to play hard. And then, I don't know, since, what, 2020, there hasn't been a hard-fought one.
So good luck to all those involved, particularly Adam Silver, as he tries to make what was a marquee event that again. I have my doubts on that. Meanwhile, Reed Sheppard, who is supposed to be a sharpshooter, and maybe at some point he gets invited to be in an NBA All-Star Weekend three-point contest.
Yeah, he might have to tear his Achilles like Damian Lillard.
Or the pushback for not having him invited, if someone gets upset, you could say, hey, your coach won't even put you in the game when you need a three. How could you be a sharpshooter? That's what happened last night. Reed Sheppard not on the floor. Amen Thompson on the floor. I get it. Ime Udoka was asked earlier this week whether he would ever consider, because Reed Sheppard had a good game and Amen wasn't around and they won their game. Was it against OKC? Would you ever think about swapping one for the other as far as in the starting lineup? And he goes, not now, probably, pretty much not ever. he would not that Reese Shepard won't ever be a full-time starter for the Rockets. It just won't be in place of Amen Thompson. And while I kind of agree with that sentiment, Amen Thompson's ceiling is higher, even if the shooting is a problem right now. There's no reason for him to be on the floor instead of Reed Shepard or as opposed to Reed Shepard in that situation. As I said before we went to break, it wound up being a Tari Eason turnaround three with his foot on the line, so it just would have been a two. He missed it. The Rockets lose 105-102. Even if Reed Shepard's not going to take the shot, the threat of him on the floor, I think, would have helped. The coach decided he wasn't needed in that situation. I don't know, particularly on a night when he's shooting the ball well, when other situation would be the most apropos for him to be on the floor. You need a three late. You're not filled with great shooters on the roster. Just slide him out there for 2 seconds. Look, he can't cost you defensively, because even if you make the shot, it's overtime. So if you were concerned, like if you knock down a shot, the Clippers don't call timeout, and now you're at a disadvantage because they get Kawhi on him on a switch. That's not possible. That wouldn't have been possible last night. I don't know why. Maybe he just forgot. Maybe it didn't even cross his mind.
Yeah, I mean, he's shorter, you know, just didn't even.
He just forgot that.
Just didn't even see. He's shorter than Ibe Udoka.
Yeah, we do have a former
line
player.
Of sight.
We have Royal Ivy's a former player. Maybe he was blocking his view. Who knows?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. But you look at the lineup on the floor. You had Jabari's not great, but Amen was an inbounder, so, of course, no chance of him taking the shot, I guess, with only 2 seconds left. But you had two non-shooters on the floor, Şengün and Amen Thompson inbounding. And Jabari, he's a shooter in name, but he's not a great three-point shooter. And yet, Reed Shepard, with his warm-up on and a towel around his neck, not on the floor. Seems like a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
Amen's a great inbounder. I don't know that to be the case, but maybe he is, and he had to be out there. But then Şengün didn't have to be out there.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's just one of those.
Yeah, there's nothing you can say other than, like why? Why not?
Like, there's no, like,
there's no pushback,
only
right?
Ibe Udoka has the defense for that.
Yeah,
you know?
There's no one who can think of why Reed Shepard wasn't on the floor for that.
And it also is something where, at least for me, I'm already like, well, it's pretty low odds anyway. So it's like you're not diminishing your odds of getting this thing to overtime by that much by, like, not having him out. It's like,
I get it. Yeah, there's only 2 seconds.
The play was, like, an absolute, like, botched job.
Yeah, it didn't get anyone open. Whatever they drew up.
Yeah, it, like, bounced off of Şengün to Eason. Like, it was a ridiculous play.
They were fortunate to even get a shot off.
Yeah, so.
The ball was supposed to go to Durant. It bounces off Shingun's leg.
Yeah, it almost looked like he, like, kicked it to
winds him. Up in the corner with Tari Eason, and he was able to get a shot off, but his foot was on the line. So, yeah, it was a disaster
just
from,
like,
the go. So, maybe I just answered my own question. Amen Thompson, not that great of an inbounder.
Yeah, no, and then have Şengün. Like, you have two guys that are 6'8", 6'9", that are good passers, that are probably the two best passers on your team. Have one of them be the inbounder, and then have, you know, what, a top three shooter on your team?
Now, the play was for Durant, but, of course, the Clippers know that, so they denied him the basketball, and then they went with their second option, which was Şengün inside the three-point line when he would have caught the pass. It was all messy.
It's just
disaster.
It was bad.
Like, yeah.
Like, from not having Reed Shepard on the court to what actually happened on the court, whatever.
Whatever. You drop a game.
Yeah, just.
You lost that game.
It was all bad.
When you blew it late in the third or in the fourth quarter.
That is, like, the truthful of just like that. That's when you lost the game, and Kawhi Leonard played like a top
2019
five
Kawhi Leonard. Yeah,
like
took
I don't
over
know,
in that fourth quarter.
Just hey, to take a phrase from the Houston Astros, sometimes you just got to tip your cap. You know, that these things happen in baseball, basketball too.
Yeah, it happens. Certainly happens to the Rockets blowing leads.
One out of 162, the last 2 years.
Unfortunately, it's been more than one. It's been quite a few. That's why we take note of it. It's been too many out of the last 162.
Yeah. Momentum's next day starter, Dale.
But the next day won't be for
Yeah, it'll
a
be
week
the Rising
so.
Stars Challenge on Friday.
Yeah, which I will not watch at all. Dreamshake noted KD fan says KD is automatic. We were talking about missed free throws. The first game was shocking when he missed it. I'll take your word for it that he's one of the most clutch free throw shooters of all time. I'm not looking into it.
Yeah, I mean, he's just like a 90% guy for his career.
Yeah, that's who he is. He's a great free throw shooter. That's why it was so appalling to everyone, at least as a Rocket fan, that he would miss it. In his first like game as a Rocket, the closer for the Rockets that they brought in, he misses the free throw. And, of course, fouls Shea on a play that sends Shea the line to tie the game, right, I believe?
Yes.
So why do I remember something from the first game of the year? Because it was Kevin Durant and – it was a moment, hey, this is what this guy's here for, and it didn't work out. But that's fine. The record's fine. They're not in a bad position. They just do things that they can't correct.
Yes, and this is a from my research from Rocket Power that you can hear Friday at 10 o'clock sharp. Rush over to YouTube to watch it.
Of course.
You can also hear it at 6 o'clock on the station if you want to listen to Dell in the morning and then...
Yeah, it's still at 10 o'clock, huh? It releases at 10 o'clock on Friday.
I actually don't know if it still does that.
Okay.
Maybe you talk to the right people and
there's
got
like
that,
two people to talk to.
Got that moved back an hour or two. But the Rockets, 7th easiest schedule post All-Star break. And the Thunder, Nuggets, and T-Wolves are three of the top four toughest schedules in the league remaining. So you don't really have to play that much better to at least stay in a home court team in the playoffs and maybe even move up. Spurs, middle of the pack. Not a huge advantage there. But you play, I think, like nine teams that are like the disgraces of basketball for the next 2 months.
So. Speaking of one of those disgraces... the Jazz have decided, you know what, let's stop with the whole benching Jaren Jackson Jr. to start fourth quarters when we have a lead and not bringing him back in. They've just shut him down for the rest of the year. He's going to have knee surgery due to a PVNS, which is a giant cell tumor. It's benign and rare, but they found it on his knee, so they're going to take care of that. And he likely won't be available the rest of the way. So the Jazz get that whole, hey, we're tanking, we're doing it dishonorably thing out the way. I mean, I'm sure they'll still treat Lauri Markkanen that way.
I was going to say, Markkanen's still going to be disgracing the game of
basketball.
Maybe
we hear about an elbow thing that we didn't know he had at some point just to get that out of the way, too.
Surely there's something.
But he will undergo surgery. They discovered the growth after the trade. Of course, they played him after discovering it. But at some point...
discomfort. He reported discomfort to
the team
doctors.
You think Adam Silver made a call?
Yeah, I think Adam Silver was just like, hey,
guys,
listen, like, we're not going to get mad at you if you just shut this guy down.
If he has anything, I'm not suggesting you make up something.
Yeah.
But if he has anything that you were going to hold off on until five games left in a season, let's take care of it now.
Yes.
I wonder how many
NBA players have benign growths in their knees.
I don't know. This one's apparently pretty rare thing for it to happen, so.
Yeah. I just feel like if you look at enough guys' knees, there's enough, like, just former injuries and scar tissue stuff. Where
that they
could
take care of during a season if they wanted to.
And then sit them for 30 games.
Yeah, it's always a possibility. It's always in a lot of teams' back pockets. A little cleanup thing, and it's done for the year.
Yeah, so Rockets played the Jazz twice in the season. You won't see Jaren Jackson Jr.
No, and depending on when those games take place.
Might not see Markkanen.
Yeah.
Might not see Keyshawn Jordan.
The problem is... Bryce Sensabaugh still on the court.
Yeah.
That's the guy you need to take off the court.
Yeah, that guy. I mean,
that guy keeps trying.
Yeah, he's fighting for his NBA life. He's the guy who plays in the fourth quarter for the Utah Jazz. He's hanging on to the NBA by a thread. Yeah. He needs to pull out.
Yeah, what a thing. I forgot who it was. I think it was Evan Turner who was talking about. He believed he was like Kobe.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
Which coach told him he was more like that he was being treated or he was told he was more like this? And he goes, that was a shock to his system because he thought he was always Kobe. Yeah.
And then he like even threw in a like no disrespect to the guy, the coach said I was. Hold on.
He said, I remember one time my coach said he viewed me as Richard Jefferson.
Yes.
And that was the first time I truly understood Latrell Sprewell.
Who choked P.J. Carlos upon?
Yes. He goes, P.S., I trade the career I had for Richard Jefferson, so it ain't no shade. I just thought I was Kobe. And Bryce Sensabaugh, at one point, thought, you know what? I got a real shot to be a guy in this league. And then he realizes the Jazz won't bench me in the fourth quarter when they're trying to lose. They'll actually play me.
I'm one of the guys the Jazz are trying to lose this game with.
Yeah, they think I can help them lose this game.
Me and Kyle Filipowski.
But instead, I'm going to go out there and knock down shots and do things that the organization actually doesn't want me to do. But as you said, he's out there fighting for his life. So it's always good to be self-aware. Richard Jefferson got that information probably later than Evan Turner got that information a little bit later than maybe he should have. But just know, you're Richard Jefferson here. You're not a Kobe here.
What, Bryce Sensabaugh? Bryce Sensabaugh, you're a Deshaun Nix, not a Fred VanVleet, all right?
That's ugly. Sorry, Bryce Sensabaugh.
No, that's what the Jazz are saying. The Jazz are telling him, hey, listen, we need you to be the point guard that loses us these games, not the guy who wins those games.
Got it. Fred VanVleet's absence has grown his stature so much more. Like, he would do worse for his reputation by coming back and playing this year. God. Like, just stay away.
Especially being, like, 5'10", coming back from an ACL early.
Stay away and come back next year. And particularly if the Rockets flame out, his reputation's only going to grow.
Yeah.
Fred VanVleet. What we would have been like, without him.
Make another big move, and it's like, it kind of gets lumped in with, like, his return with this other player that's probably better than him. Like, return, it's like, oh my God, look how much better. See, that's what they're missing with Fred VanVleet. It's like,
they say absence makes the heart grow fonder. And the thought that Fred VanVleet is the difference between maybe this team winning a round or with him in the lineup, maybe making a run to the conference finals, is doing real credit to his reputation.
Yeah, I mean, they were bad without him last year when he missed games. So.
It's true. He's very important to this team, and
it is funny.
He certainly would be more welcome. He certainly would be welcome in the fourth quarter.
Yeah,
of these games.
I mean, people are calling into morning radio shows asking about Jose Alvarado. Like, I think Fred VanVleet would be a welcome sight.
Yeah, point guard play. The Rockets, compared to most teams, at a deficit there. All right, we'll go to break with that. The number is 713-780-3776. You need to remember that number because we got a giveaway coming up. We got tickets to the fishing show. We'll do that when we come back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
If you like fishing, we got something for you. Caller 2 right now, 713-780-3776, wins a pair of tickets to the Houston Fishing Show. It's going from the 18th through the 22nd at the George R. Brown Convention Center. It's got everything for the fishermen: lures, rods, reels, boats, and continuous clinics by expert fishermen. It covers salt and fresh water. They got a kids clinic. Well, at least they'll have a kids clinic on Saturday and Sunday. For more information, go to HoustonFishingShow.com. So right now, caller 2, 713-780-3776 wins a pair of tickets to the Houston Fishing Show. Hunter Brown will be your starter on opening day. It's the first time the Astros will have someone not named Framber Valdez as their opening day starter in the last four seasons. That's been Framber's thing. But we know Framber's now a Tiger. So they had to pick someone, and it's not very surprising that it went to Hunter. Who else would have been the choice? So the story isn't about Hunter Brown being the selection. It's about his reaction, and we'll hear from him in a little bit. But we're trying to get calls for the fishing show. Sean, I didn't want to put you on the spot because you have to deal with that. But can we get the Hunter Brown his reaction to the fish? Excuse me, not the fishing show. Hunter Brown's reaction to being the opening day starter. We'll get to that here. The Astros
called you in his office. Said you good idea what he was going to tell you.
No, I mean, I was in the building for like 20 seconds. So I was like, man, how did I already managed to upset the manager in that amount of time? So no, but yeah, really exciting. You know, it was a big deal for me, right? Like, your whole career, when you're a little kid, you know, that's the stuff that you kind of dream about. So it was an awesome meeting for sure.
Does it matter to you that it comes now instead of the news that later in spring training in terms of preparation? Does it matter?
No, I mean, it just gives you a better idea of like, all right, you know, that's the date that you got to be ready to go rather than, you know, in years past, not sure, you know, which game of the season you're starting till the end. But, you know, so I definitely think it just helps you lay it out a little bit better.
Did you think or suspect that you might be the day one starter?
You know, I don't think you come in with any expectations, but I think based on the way that I prepare and, you know, obviously my ability, I was hoping for it for sure.
Jim said he wanted to do it today in part because he wanted to communicate to the pitching staff that you're the leader. When you hear him say that, like, how does that hit you? Like, how do you take that responsibility?
You know, I don't think, it's high praise and it's a big compliment coming from Joe, but, you know, I think that, you know, the way that you carry yourself day in and day out and the way that you prepare kind of, you know, irons some of that stuff out itself. So, you know, I expect it of myself to be the leader. And, you know, I don't think it's anything surprising or anything like that. You know, I would think that, I guess I would think that he would think that of me anyway. So that's kind of where I'm at with it.
27 years old, Hunter Brown, your opening day starter, and you heard the discussion. He's the leader of that pitching staff, at least by resume right now. He wants to be the guy people look to verbally when the guys need to get going, someone needs to talk to. I guess he wants to take on that role. But if you just go by accolades and reputation, he is the clear choice. No surprise, he's the number one starter and the opening day starter. So the rest of the rotation, Tatsuya Imai, whether you want to list him as second or third, he is locked into the rotation. And then after that, all up in the air, whether as far as who's going to be healthy, who's going to actually be good, whether it be Javier, Burrows, McCullers Jr., Eric Geddy. They have options. We will see how they fill out that staff. But at least at the top, you've got a Cy Young candidate and a guy who's, while he wasn't officially the number one because Fromber had seniority, I think most people knew that Hunter Brown was the best pitcher on that staff. Now, Fromber, it's good to be number two. He got paid quite a bit to go be a Tiger, and he's behind Scooble as well there, but I don't think anyone's crying for Fromber. Oh, you know, you're the second guy in the rotation. I think he'll be just fine. And Fromber talked about what happened late last year, as far as his tenure with the Astros is concerned, and the season kind of went off the rails as far as how people felt about him because of the cross-up and the comments. He's steadfast. Hey, that's just a cross-up. It happens. And he said Salazar feels the same way. So Fromber's not going to allow you to tell people or him that he did that on purpose.
Yeah.
Do we believe that?
I mean, Salazar feels the same way, according to Fromber Valdez.
Yeah, I don't know if Salazar, if he could be asked a question and respond in a way that wouldn't really bring more attention. I don't know if he would answer it that way. If he could be someone who wasn't just good baseball guy, if he could just answer it and as far as how he actually felt, would he back up Fromber? I don't know that to be the case, yeah. But he's the catcher. He's going to back up his guy. And look, man, hey, just a cross up. I know it looked like he expected something else and he did, but it wasn't because I wanted to fire a fastball at his chest.
Yeah. It's also funny that it was like just like right down the middle and the Yankees hitter just didn't swing at it, fastball down the middle.
Wasn't expecting it.
No,
sometimes not only do you trick your catcher, you trick the opposing batter.
It was so down the middle that the hitter is like, surely this is going to break somewhere. Nope. Boom. Right to his chest.
He might have thought curveball too.
I almost think that the cross-up thing like distracts from the fact that he had a 5.6 ERA in August and a 6.51 ERA in September.
It did him a favor.
Didn't do the Astros a favor.
No, not at all.
They would prefer to have a 2 ERA in one of those months.
Yeah.
They'd be in the playoffs.
Make the playoffs, yeah.
But yeah, it is funny that it's like, yeah, you know, the cross-up, whatever. Who knows what happened there? It's like, well, I know what happened after that.
Did anyone ask him about him stinking the last 2 months of the season?
Yeah, on a team that missed the playoffs by one game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was a direct contributor to that.
Two and seven over the last what, 2 months?
So
yeah,
it didn't stop the Tigers from giving him 3 years, $115 million. But he did want the fans to know that these things happen. I got crossed up with the catcher. It was not intentional. It happened in a moment of adrenaline, a tense moment. Talked to Salazar, and it's all good. But he did apologize to him for throwing it in a way
that could hurt him.
That could have hurt him, but it wasn't intentional. Nothing personal.
Isn't every pitch a pitch that could hurt someone if they don't catch it?
Yeah, if you don't throw it where you need to throw it, a pitch could hurt someone.
But and it was an intense moment. That was a complete accident. Tempers were high, but it was an accident.
Did not say tempers were high.
Oh, okay.
A moment of adrenaline.
A moment of adrenaline.
And a tense moment. But he did not say tempers were high. Yeah, I did lock in on that. A tense moment.
An accident?
You mean just because you're pitching, or was there an issue that you two were having and it led to the cross-up?
I mean, it was in the middle of a meltdown, like an active meltdown that he was having. Like, just on-the-field meltdown that he was having. Yeah, I think it was like right after giving up a home run. I think right before giving up another one. So
a lot of evidence would suggest it wasn't so accidental, but I just go by what he said.
Yeah, no.
Don't want to call him a liar.
No, no. Definitely don't want to do that.
But I don't believe him. But I'm not going to call him a liar.
I'll just say this. It's hard for me to believe this.
Considering what we know about the man in question and his blow-ups.
And he was never the same after that, but who knows?
I would like to take him at his word. It's just very difficult for me to. That's all I'm saying.
Team he pitched for didn't really seem to have that much interest other than the Patton and Dana Brown, like, hey, we'll take him.
Yeah, Frommer wants to come here for $20 million per season. We'll do that. That'll work out for us.
Signed a terrible deal. We'll sign it to him.
Yeah, a giant hometown discount. We'll welcome him back. Instead, he's a Tiger. And he has given us a response, whether we believe it or not. That's up to us. All right, we'll go to break with that. Hour one complete. We'll come back with hour two. So a question popped up as I was walking in here on First Take, and I was, at least in my head, immediately going, why is this question being asked? Much like a lot of First Take stuff, why is this question being asked? It was about the Seahawks and were they disrespected this year. And before their parade and celebration yesterday, I would have said, why are we even talking about that? No, they weren't disrespected. But the Seahawks felt disrespected, mostly because no one believed in their quarterback. I think plenty of people looked at that defense and of course, JSN, and thought, they got a pretty good roster. It was just all about Sam Darnold. Ernest Jones has some thoughts. We'll talk about that when we come back. And also, the interaction between Kenneth Walker and his GM. A little awkward. We'll get to that in hour two. But first, I want to talk about the people at Monument Chevrolet. That was a bit of an awkward transition because I did not know I need to talk about them. But let's talk about them. Go to the website right now. MonumentChevrolet.com is that website. And find all the deals. And I say all the deals because there's more than a couple. And pick the vehicle that you want and that you'll love once you see it in person. And you see it in person at MonumentChevrolet.com. So take the vehicle that you see and the deal that you see. Keep that in mind and head out to the dealership. They're in Pasadena off of Beltway 8 and 225. And I say keep it in mind because you want that deal that you see initially to match up to what you see in person. And that's what they're about. There are no hidden fees, no upcharges. What you see one place is what you'll get in the other place. And who's also there in person is Jeff. He's their GM. If you got any questions, ask Jeff. He'll be your point person. And then he'll get you with a great salesperson, and they'll walk you through the car buying process at the pace that you're looking for. Whether you know what you want and you're set, they'll make sure they get you into the vehicle as quickly as possible. Or maybe you got some questions, you're not quite sure what fits you. They'll answer all your questions, and they'll set you up with the whatever vehicle you decide on. That's what they're about at Monument Chevrolet. They're there to help you. They've been in business for over 50 years. You've been in business that long. That means you cater to the needs of the customer. They'll do that for you once you get on out there. So find the vehicle at MonumentChevrolet.com. Go to Pasadena once you select your vehicle, and drive it off that lot off of Bellway 8 and 225 in Pasadena. That's Monument Chevrolet. Chevrolet, together let's drive.
ESPN 97.5.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games that's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.